So apparently, the argument about health care was going on 2,000 years ago, too. Have mercy. So how does it go? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the... Rest. Oh, that's with a W. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was what? Blind, but now I see. Who was this man blind from his birth? Was he some sort of biblical scholar or a member of the power elite? What did he know of miracles on the morning he arose to go out and meet Jesus? And how was he so blessed that he should receive the sight for which he did not ask? So in the days when the Gospel of John was written, as you know from your Bible studies, sometime in the late first century or thereabouts, you all remember that a person's perceived state or station in life would have been an indicator of his or her favor in the eyes of God, right? The rich were deemed to have been righteous, hence they were blessed by riches. You know it. Somewhere in my youth and childhood, I must have done something good. Well, the blind man becomes the object of the debate as to whether it was his sin or the sins of his parents that caused him to be born blind. There was no if-then construction or syllogism to these arguments. The man was blind. Somebody sinned. Somewhere in his youth and childhood, he must have done something bad. His station in life was within the category of poor, as in the poor will always be with you. Someone clearly messed up here. There was sin somewhere here. It had to be so. Enter the Pharisees. Now, I hope you may notice that I changed, well, you weren't looking at the scripture, but I changed the term Jews in this instance, and only in this instance, because everyone involved was Jewish. We were talking specifically about the people who were the temple leadership. That's why I used the term temple leadership. I don't normally alter these things, but that seemed relevant in this case. Enter the Pharisees. It turns out that Jesus gave sight to this man on the Sabbath. And according to John's reckoning, the Pharisees would have considered this a sin. And they would have considered it a sin because working on the Sabbath was a sin. And Jesus made what? What was his sin? What did he do? He made clay. He made mud. He made a plaster. And he put it on the man's eyes. Jesus seemed to make a habit of this in the Gospel of John. Back in the fifth chapter, he tells this person on the Sabbath, take up your bed and walk. So the man rolls up his bed and walks, and everybody goes, wait a minute, it's Sabbath, you're not supposed to be working. For some, it was clear that Jesus worked on the Sabbath. For others, it was clear that this type of healing miracle could only have come from God. So our gospel says that there was a division among the Pharisees. Can you not just hear it right now? Can you not just hear them yapping and arguing back and forth about this? Yeah, C-SPAN. What we needed is a C-SPAN 2,000 years ago. This would have been. Who was this man blind from his birth? Was he some sort of biblical scholar or a member of the power elite? What did he know of miracles on the morning he arose to go out and meet Jesus? And how was he so blessed that he should receive the sight for which he did not ask? These are questions the Pharisees and the temple leadership may well have been asking themselves in that day. And as observers to the event, hearers of the word in this day, listeners to the story in this day, we know, don't we? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, We know who the blind really are. The persons who cannot see are they who will not see. The man with sight given him is astonished, we are told, that the persons who should, by their obvious affluence, position, status, their nice clothes, by their obvious favor with God, he's astonished that they should know that this kind of miracle can only come from God. If this man, Jesus, were not from God, he says to the Pharisees, he could do nothing. He states the obvious to those who obviously should know. This formerly blind man clearly sees what those who should see cannot see, and their reply confirms their blindness. Whether you are healed or not, whether you can see now or not, you were born blind, and therefore you were born in sin, and we were not. So how dare you tell us or try to teach us about these things? And they drove him off. I don't even know how many years ago it's been, but I was reminded by all this of having watched some news magazine program on some given day, and George Stephanopoulos was interviewing a leader of a particular religious denomination. And that particular individual, leader of the denomination, was making some sort of principle Christian with a capital C, everybody, if you're going to be Christian, this is what you need kind of statement. And Freud is alive. Mr. Stephanopoulos asked the neo-Pharisee whether there might be alternative interpretations to his stated, well, we can define it perhaps as conservative biblical view. And the man responded, he said to George, I love this. He said, George, are you going to lecture me on being a Christian? And doesn't that come straight out of the Gospel of John? I mean, you just can lay that right over and there it would be, and everyone would go, oh, yeah, yeah. You were born entirely in sin, and are you trying to teach us? Where is the blindness here? I want you all to know that many, if not all, of the most memorable statements of theological acuity that I have heard in my life have come from those who have demonstrated feelings of being less than blessed, or ignorant, or timid in the face of perceived superior knowledge, intellect, position, or status. I have often been chastised by the simplicity of faith in persons trying to live simple lives and the wisdom that they bring to the table in doing so. Again and again in my work here and elsewhere, I've been forced to examine my own ability to see, to wonder at my own blindness by persons the neo-Pharisees would say, even in this enlightened, quote unquote, age, persons who are sinners. Here in this parish family and outside our doors among this community are persons who can see clearly the presence of God in their lives. And that presence for them maybe looks not one bit like the official NBA licensed product of those who shout the loudest on the airwaves of our media, and who apparently have access to the ears of many in power. Think about the construct of all of these arguments that have been coming down about whether people should be cared for in this world and how they should be cared for. And through the deafening roar of the ranting and raving around us, I want us to hear what John is saying. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of humankind, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. All of the references to light and darkness, to blindness and seeing in this instance within the Gospel of John have a deep, deep resonating component with the songs of wisdom our own hearts sing. I don't have to tell you in this place that faith has colors uniquely visible to those unique faculties that can perceive them. And every single person on this planet, except those with intervening pathologies, has the faculties to perceive faith in their own unique way. The other day, I met with someone, a lovely human being, who brought into my presence a deep faith, and who was actually questioning her personal faith because it didn't coincide with that being claimed as the official complete with t-shirt Christianity that is so noisily professed by public persons. The burden of the repetitive claims that we hear has become oppressive. And I say, in this period of Lent, when we are looking into our hearts, into our own faith, into how we understand our relationship with God, I say it's time to question their faith as well. I say it's time to question their version of Christianity. Not someone like this person who came to see me. Yes, let her do her work. Yes, let us do our work. But let us also raise the question. And I happen to believe that our gospel today concurs. To paraphrase that final conversation of the newly sighted man with Jesus, if you can clearly see the presence of God in your life, then I want you to trust in it and believe in it and worship out of it. If you are seeking the presence of God in your life, then know that God is present with you right now and has blessed you with the faculties you need to perceive in your own way that presence of God. Do not, my brothers and sisters, do not fear those who would condemn you for believing in your own unique way. It is not their job. It is not my job as your rector. It is not the job or the right or the privilege of anyone to interpose between anyone else and God. So I invite you to be at peace with who you are, you beautiful human beings, and simply do the best you can to worship God in the way that suits you best. Who are you in this world? Are you some sort of biblical scholar or a member of the power elite? What do you know of miracles in the morning when you arise to go about your business in this God-created world? And how is it that you are so blessed? You should receive the sight for which you may not have even asked.